Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13 in your Schofield Bible, page 1304, 1304. We'll be reading verses 5 through 9. The text verse is the 7th verse, beginning with verse 5 and reading through verse 9. We'll read the verses responsibly. Shall we all stand? Stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Now the text verse, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And let's read the 9th together. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is the good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And let's pray. Father, we're not asked just now to read the book, to memorize the book. We're asked just to listen. And surely we can do that. We can listen as the man of God comes to preach the Word of God. We pray that you'd help us to be intent upon our concentration concerning this message, this service. Help us to learn together, to act together, to be team players. Bless our preacher. Bless, we pray, the message in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for that love. Love divine, all love excelling. Thank you for the love of Christ. May it constrain us to serve you better in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to, if you would this morning, to not force me to use the tool of humor. I have no intention of not using it. I have no intention of using it. But I want to talk to you this morning about a very important subject. About 10 minutes of my sermon will have to do with my future here, and future of my life, and the life of Mrs. Hiles. And the other 20 minutes or so will deal with you and your future. I want to speak on the subject this morning, how to change the past. How to change the past. I'm going to use this microphone this morning, and I want you to listen. You say, preacher, did you say you're going to speak on how to change the past? Yes. And I'm going to tell you this morning how you can change the past. You say, preacher, I've got some things I'd like to change in the past. Now listen carefully, and I'm going to tell you how you can change the past. Here's the way you do it. When you make a decision, you go out and put yourself in your future. And you make the decision as you're going to look at what you're about to do from the future. So if I'm going to make a decision today, I'm going to go out here and see, will I be pleased tomorrow that I made that decision today? Now, that way, I can change not today's past, but tomorrow. Today is past. And so I can change tomorrow's past. So when you make a decision, put yourself in the future, and that puts you now in the past. You're now in the past. Decide whether you'll be glad or sorry in the future. That way you're changing the future's past or tomorrow's past. Not only that, when you do something, you're going to commit something or do something, then you go out in the future and you look back and say, will I be glad in the future that I did what I'm about to do? Now, what does that mean? That means those of you that are about to quit college, you better go out yonder in the future and look and see what you're going to think about that 20 years from now. And that means you can change the past. not today's past, but you can change tomorrow's past. Because tomorrow, today, will be your past. That means when you folks that get a little peeved at church, and somebody is not perfect at church, and every once in a while, there are a few of us here that are not perfect, and you're one of them. And every once in a while, you get a little out of sort. I talk to people, I talked to three in the last few months of the former male members of our staff. And they've said to me, the mistake I made, the biggest mistake I made in my life, was to leave the staff of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Now, what they should have done was they should have gone down in the future and looked back to see, what will I think in the future about what I'm about to do? Now, that means that some of you folks get a little upset. Brother Latina doesn't do the youth activities just like you think he ought to. Or Brother Boyd does not handle your child just like you think he should. Or Brother Sisson mishandled your child. Or Brother Vogel mishandled your child. Or Brother Hiles said something in the pulpit that you didn't agree with. Or you thought he was preaching to you. Now, I want to make this statement. When I'm preaching against something, if somebody comes into my mind, I immediately stop my illustration. I never say a thing with anybody here that would hurt you at all. But you think I did. And so you're going to go somewhere else. Well, I have news for you. The people somewhere else are people also. And but what you better do is you better go down yonder and see when that three-year-old child that you're taking somewhere else, what are you going to think about that when the child's 15 years of age? So you can change your past. You can't change today's past, but you can change tomorrow's past. That means if you're thinking about moving, please do not walk around back in the back. Please, sit out in the hallway. That means that if you are thinking about moving somewhere, and I'll say it, and I'll say it till I die, it is not one place in this Bible that says you're supposed to move somewhere because you're transferred by your job. No place in the Bible. You look and see the people in the Bible that went somewhere because of job or money, and you'll find it always brought heartache. Ask Brother Abraham how that turned out when he left the land of Canaan to go down to Egypt, and there in the land of Egypt, he met a little gal named Hagar and hired her and brought her back and got her pregnant, and he was father of an illegitimate child. And illegitimate child was the father of the Arabs and the trouble that Arafat is having with Netanyahu in Israel today was caused by the fact Abraham went down because he got a raise in pay when he went somewhere else. Check with the Elimelech and Naomi, who left Bethlehem of Judah in the time of the famine, went down to Moab because they wanted to make a living down there. Check and see. Or better still, check the people that left here about 15 years ago when the steel mills shut down and went to Texas and went to Oklahoma, and some went to Houston, some went to Oklahoma, some went to Northwest Texas for a buck. You check and see how that turned out. And by the way, you go to Houston, you'll find Houston had a recession after we did, worse than ours. And Oklahoma City, and so did Northwest Texas. I'm trying to say, before you decide to go somewhere, and you better go out in the future, and you better look back and say, what will I think about this decision I'm going to make, or this thing I'm going to do after a while? Because you can change your past. Not today's past, but you can change tomorrow's past. And you decide to take the shortcut. Go out in the future and see if that's going to be what you will be glad you did. When you decide to purchase something, you hear these ads, a payment will not be due until 90 days. If you buy something now, you'll not even make a payment until June of 1999 or 98. Folks, I got news for you. June of 1998 is going to come. Now, you better go out there to June of July of 98 and decide what you're going to think about that purchase now. There are folks today who made purchases that were careless. And by the way, but before you use that credit card too much, you might better go out yonder to the next 10 years as you're paying off that credit card, or wrongly declaring bankruptcy, you might better go out there. I'm saying anything you decide to do now, go out in the future and ask yourself, what will I think in the future about the decision I'm making right now? Or about your plans on a date. Or about your treatment of parents. Hey, teenagers, wake up. You better treat your parents now like you will wish you had treated your parents in the future, Instead of living a life of remorse because you mistreated your parents, you can change your past, that is tomorrow's past, by behaving yourself and being a good child today. So now is your future past. The present is tomorrow's past. So I can change tomorrow's past. I can change my future past. So I'm living in the past of tomorrow. Let me tell you where I got this truth. And I hate to even admit this. My mother, and this is an old story, but my mother, when she was 40 years old, she had teeth that had rotted, and I mean, her teeth were actually black. Looked like they were made out of coal. She couldn't afford to go to a dentist. She couldn't afford to get dentures, and she lived with that. And I'll be quite frank with you, she was ugly. I was embarrassed about it. When I got 17 years of age, and my mother at that time had dentures, but she'd worked herself to death, and I was born when she was almost 40. They say that children born right before the change of life are more brilliant than anybody else, and I'm living proof of that. I told you I wasn't going to say anything humorous this morning. I'm serious all the way through this sermon. But my mother worked hard. My dad had left us, and my mother worked in the on a hot steam table at a public school lunchroom, and then in the summertime, she worked at Lubis Cafeteria, and my mother was just not real pretty. When I was 17 years old, she was about 57, and I was ashamed of her. Bob Keyes had a young mother, a blonde and very attractive mother. Richard Newton had a mother who was, she's probably, I'm guessing she must have been 38, 40 years of age, and all my buddies had mothers that were rather attractive women, and I was ashamed of my mother. One night, after my daddy had left, I was walking around the block, and I sat on a curb on Idaho Street, and I got to thinking, and this truth hit me. One day, hear me now, one day, today, will be my past. That's enough laughing down here on the front. I'm preaching to you. You listen to me carefully. By the way, the way you treat your parents is not, I mean, you mistreat your parents, it's nothing to laugh at, it's something to cry about. I sat on the curb and I got thinking, I'm talking about a 17-year-old boy. Listen to me now. Listen to me, young people. I got to thinking, one day, this will be my past. One day, I'll look back on today. Will I be happy I was ashamed of my mother when now is past? Will I be happy that I didn't want to bring my friends? Hey, back there, quit hugging in church. Set up back there. Set up straight. That's no place to neck. Set up. Put your head off your husband's shoulder. Good night. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Listen to me carefully. I said, will I be pleased in the future when today is my past? And as a 17-year-old boy, I decided, listen carefully, to change my past. And I decided to be proud of my mother. And those red hands that she had, which she had to wear rubber gloves and go put salve on her hands, and they'd bleed because she worked so she could put some food in this mouth. And there's nothing any worse than an ungrateful teenager. Nothing. Nothing. Well, my dad and mom don't understand why Einstein couldn't understand you. Now you listen to me. You teenagers, get right with God and treat your parents right. Your mother into the jaws of death to give you life. She fed you when you couldn't feed yourself, cooked your meals, and cleaned your house, and made your clothes, and bought your clothes, and your daddy worked with the sweat of his brow to bring money home. He paid your rent. He paid for your clothes. He paid for your food. And for you to be an ungrateful teenager is as wicked as the guy Albert that committed the assault and battery on that woman. And I decided to change. I decided to change. The lady back there's got her head on her husband's shoulders. I want you to straighten up. I'm going to see you after service. We're not going to, this is not a hugging place. It's not a
smooching place, it's a preaching place, and you set up like you're at the Super Bowl. I don't have anything to say, let's go home. I got something to say, set up and listen to it. So as a 17-year-old boy, I decided to change my past. I look down to today, when as a 71-year-old man, I'm looking back at my 17th year, or 18th year. Now this morning, the decisions that you face, whom you choose to marry, when you choose to marry, how you choose to marry, how you behave on your dates, how you work on your job, what you're doing is you're determining the past for tomorrow. Please listen carefully now. I'm going to take about 10 minutes and talk to you from my heart. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm 71 years of age. I've been wrestling, and Ms. Isles and I have been wrestling for weeks and months about our future. There are times when I feel like I'm too old to pastor this church. I'm still, as far as I know, in good health, but I have the normal aches and pains. We were sitting the other day. I said, Ms. Howes, how's your head? She said, better. We didn't realize we were doing this. She said, how's your back? And I said, it's been hurting a little bit. I said, how's your tennis elbow? And she said, well, it hurts a bit. She said, how's your stomach? And I said, well, I said, it's bothering me. Somebody said, by the way, you've been having stomach trouble. You, how's your stomach? Man, we need a checklist. I'm going to have Ms. McKinney mimeograph me a list. We can just check it out every day. It'll save us some time. We have the normal ailments of older people. And I do. She's not old. I want to see those two teenagers that talk to Mr. Sisson. We had a couple of teenagers last week came to visit here. I think I'm quoting about what he said. It's not their actual statements about what they said. Walked up to your daughter and said, well, how sure did marry a young woman, didn't he? She loved it. I hate it. But you know, we've been talking an awful lot, and I want to bare my heart to you for a minute. I'll be quite frank with you. There have been times that we thought about retirement. Not from preaching, but we've just thought that maybe somebody younger could do a better job. And I've been wrestling, and we've been wrestling with our future. And so I got to thinking about this truth. We're facing a decision now that'll be our past. I hope so. If we live a while longer, it'll be our past in a few years. And I've been thinking, what will I wish in a few years that I'd done? I want you to follow my reasoning for a minute. About 10 years ago, Dr. Tom Malone was my age. I was preaching for him, and Dr. Malone said, Brother Hiles, I'm going to retire. And I said, Dr. Malone, this is no time for you to retire. He said, Brother Hiles, he said, I feel like I've got to retire. And he did. And his church went down and down and down and down and down. I preached there when they were running 3,000 in Sunday school. They got down to less than 200. And then the church he had built decided, the pastor, the present pastor, decided to vote Mr. and Mrs. Malone, Dr. Malone, out of the church. They said a Wednesday night where the church was going to vote on Dr. and Ms. Malone being members of the church, and the pastor was going to recommend that they vote him out. But he carried the vote, and the church called him back as pastor. In fact, he preached here one night because I had him here to encourage him. You didn't know that. He preached here. I had him here because at that time he was facing being voted. I don't mean as pastor. I mean as a member of the church he built. Church he's pastored for 40 years. Now, Dr. Malone, things about retiring. Now as he looks back on his past, he's sorry. So I considered that. Not only that, but I looked at what happened to churches, the giant churches in America. I looked at what happened to them after the man who led in the building of the churches passed away. First, a Pontiac, Emmanuel Baptist Church Pontiac, when Dr. Malone resigned, down and down and down. First Baptist Church Fort Worth, when Dr. J. Frank Norris died. Church went down, used to run 3,000 in Sunday school, now a few hundred, maybe 300 or 400, back in the Southern Baptist Convention. I looked to see what happened to the Temple Baptist Church in Detroit that once was the largest church in America and the world. Used to run 5,000 attendants. Now not only is it down to almost nothing, but ought to be down to nothing because it's not worth anything. Gone! I looked at the Buddha Church in Chicago and compared it today as what it was when Dr. Ironside was there. I looked at Spurgeon Tabernacle, I looked at Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, and compared the 10,000 it used to have to what it has today. And I got to thinking. Now what I was doing, I was putting myself out yonder 10 years from now. What will I wish I had done today 10 years from now? And I saw something else. I want you to hear this very, very carefully. I saw that at my age that I am now, Dr. G.B. Vick dropped dead with a heart attack at his desk. All of these things I was putting in the computer about what to do about our future. I got to thinking that at my age, Dr. J. Frank Norris dropped dead with a heart attack. I got thinking that at my age, Dr. H.A. Ironside dropped dead with a heart attack. That isn't all. Spurgeon died 13 years younger than I am. Dwight Moody died 7 years younger than I am. John Bunyan died 11 years younger than I am. Martin Luther died 8 years younger than I am. John Calvin died 16 years younger than I am. Now, here's what I got thinking. Number one is, if I pastor this church in the future, I've got to take care of myself. I don't want to be a J. Frank Norris at 71 to drop dead. I don't want to die at my desk at the age of 71 like Ironside did and like G.B. Vick did. Pastors of the great churches running thousands in Sunday school and attendance. So, as I looked at the future, and from the future I look back and realize that the decision Ms. Hiles and I are making, we made these together. These are decisions that will be the past in a few years. Will we be glad that we made the decision we're making now in the future? So I came up with the following conclusions, and I do not want any boos. Well, I don't mean this kind of boos. I mean boos or applause. We've made 5 decisions, and of course, you could vote me out any time you wanted to, but as far as we're concerned, here are 5 decisions. Number one is, I plan to stay as pastor for years to come. Number two, if I am healthy for years to come, I'm nobody's fool. I've got to alter my schedule some. I'm not as young as I used to be. I can't fly all night every night like I used to do. So I, to be quite frank with you, I plan to travel less. I'm not stopping my travels. I plan to cut my travels down. Now, I realize when I say this, folks, what I say goes around the country. College students will be calling home tomorrow. And my tapes go all over America and the world. I know. But I want to do today what I will look back to as my past 10 years from now. And be glad that I made it. So if I change my past, which is now,
When tomorrow comes and now is my past,
I felt like, number one, I ought to stay as pastor. On the basis of what happened in the other churches after the guys that built them. You see, you think that'll happen here? I hope unto God it never happens, but they hoped unto God it never happened there too. I want to make this statement to you. If I were not pastor of this church, I never had, and this church called me to be its pastor, I couldn't operate it. The only reason I can lead it is because I know every nook and cranny of it. I know every crevice of every organization of it. You see, we didn't have hardly anything when I came 38 years ago, and everything we have, I helped to start it. I know it all about this church. So I look and see what happened to the other churches when the men who were there when the church had its great growth. And on that basis, I plan to stay. Then looking at the age that these men passed away. And these three men died pretty close to each other. Frank Norris died almost the same year that H.A. Ironsides died. And not long after, Dr. G.B. Vick passed away, and all of them at the age I am now, give or take a few months, I decided that 5 years from now, I'll be glad if I take care of myself a little bit better. It's like pulling teeth. I must depend more on my assistants. I must ask you to understand more. If I cannot do everything that you wish I could, in so doing, maybe I can change my future past and the future past of this church. I have to believe that a 90% Jack Hiles, with my experience and expertise learned by being here, Matt could do a better job than a 100% younger man. In so doing, I can perhaps change my future past and the future past of this church. Now I close. September 20th, 1984. I was at O'Hara Field. My mother was at the point of death. The night before, I had gone to see her, Wednesday night. She had asked me, and this is old hat, but she had asked me to promise her two things. One, that I would not cancel an engagement because of her death. And number two, that I'd preach her funeral. Next morning, I boarded a plane at O'Hara Field to fly to Charleston, South Carolina, to preach at the State Christian Educators Convention. As I always did, I called my mother before I left the airport. I called the college clinic, and the nurse said, "Your mother is dying. She may be alive if you can get here quickly. She may be alive when you get here. I'll do all I can to keep her alive if you get here." And I said, "Nurse, I can't come." She seemed surprised. She said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I promised my mother last night I wouldn't cancel a speaking engagement because of her death." I said, "Would you please put the phone on her ear?" She put the phone next to my dying mother's ear, and I shouted all over, you can hear me all over the concourse at O'Hara Field, "I love you, Mother! I love you, Mother! I love you, Mother!" I put the phone on the hook, boarded the plane, flew to Charleston, South Carolina, checked in room 217, La Quinta Inn, Charleston, South Carolina. 5 minutes before I was to go preach, the phone rang. It was my sister. And she said, "Jack, Mother just died, and I won't go into the rest of the conversation." She said, "Mother just went to heaven." She said, I said, "How was it?" She said, "We're all singing Victory in Jesus, holding John hands and singing Victory in Jesus." Some of you ladies were there. I sat down beside the bed. And I remember that night when I was 17 years of age, when I was ashamed of my mama. And I got this truth. I can change my past. I can't change today's past, but I can change tomorrow's past. I'm sitting there in room 217, looking at the end, Charleston, South Carolina. I thank God for that 17-year-old lad. Many, many decades ago, sitting on a curb on Idaho Street in Dallas, Texas. You get me? I changed my past that night. I changed my past. And young people, your past, your present is going to become your past a lot sooner than you think. No, you can't change what you did yesterday, and you can't change today's past, but bless God, you can change tomorrow's past. So whatever you're deciding to do, or whatever action you're going to make, you go out to the future, and you look back, and live tomorrow to see if you'll be pleased with what you did today. Paul used it this words, considering the end. Considering the end. Considering the end. Look at me carefully, I'll close. Are you going to be happy tomorrow with your past? Or are you going to look back tomorrow and say, I wish I hadn't have done it. Well, bless God, you can't do one single thing about today's past, but bless God, you can change tomorrow's past. I've been working on this thought for weeks. I was not going to give it. Ms. Hiles and I made our decision about our future. I don't know how much future I have. Whenever it gets here, I want to change the past. And I want to be glad that I made a decision today on the basis of what I wish I had made tomorrow. Now today, forget your past, Jesus says. God's forgotten it. It's under the blood. It's washed away. You can't do a thing about yesterday, which is today's past. But you can do an awful lot about today, which is tomorrow's past. Change your past. Change your past by doing today what you wish was your past tomorrow. Husband, any changes you ought to make? You're changing your past. That is tomorrow's. Wife, any changes you ought to make? You can change your past. That is tomorrow's. Child, teenager, any changes you ought to make? You're changing your past. That is tomorrow's past. Do what today? Do today. What tomorrow you have wished you'd done. That'll cancel your divorce plans, lady. I don't love me anymore. Shut up. I'm sick and tired of hearing that kind of garbage. You didn't say at the altar you'd love, that you'd obey him and stay with him. Did you quit loving him? You said till death do us part. All I ask you to do is change your past. That is tomorrow's past. You can control that. Would you bow your heads, please?